we start today. So if this is your first time here or first time in a long time, you picked a great week to be here. I don't know about you, but like just for me, there's just something about a brand new series. There's potential. I mean, just even the smell of it, I get excited, okay? So I hope you're ready. I hope you have a posture this morning, leaning in, not just physically, but spiritually, because God's got something special for all of us. And so as you can see behind me, the name of this series is A Controlled Burn, the Holy Spirit and You. And really our jumping point for this entire series, not just part one today, is going to be found in Acts chapter 19. So if you have a copy of God's Word with you, you can turn there. If not, we've got you covered on the screen. Acts chapter 19. I want to read two verses to you. This is really our jumping off point, and really this is the posture that we approach this series about the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 19, starting in verse 1 and reading just through verse 2. Acts 19, 1 through 2. Here's what God's Word says. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, this is the guy who wrote about two-thirds of the New Testament. He wrote a lot of the New Testament. The Apostle Paul, he took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. You see, Ephesus and Corinth, those are two places where churches were planted, and that's how we get 1st and 2nd Corinthians in God's Word and also the book of Ephesians in God's Word. There he found, talking about Paul, some disciples, and he asked them, simple question, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And today, during this series, I want you to take note of that last statement. No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. You see, the Apostle Paul here, he's talking with some disciples and he asked them a very simple question. And instead of offering back to him a dissertation paper on who the Holy Spirit is, they have zero. They've got nothing, no response whatsoever. Only thing they can say is, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. There's major confusion, there's big questions with this group of disciples. And the truth is, there's probably some people in the room today that you have some questions when it comes to the Holy Spirit. When we talk about an idea, a topic like this, maybe there's some confusion because of your background, how you grew up, and what denomination you were affiliated with. Some big questions, some big confusion. Like maybe you're thinking today, hey, I love Jesus, I'm going to heaven, but I'm not so sure about this Holy Spirit. And if that's you, can I tell you today from the senior pastor to you, I'm glad you're here. So glad that you're here. I always dreamed the church that I would pastor would be a place that is safe for you to ask big questions. I always dreamed of being part of a body of believers that if you had confusion, if there were question marks at the end of your statements, that this would be such a place that it was okay for you to ask those sorts of questions. It was okay for you to maybe not know all the answers. So I got to tell you today, this is that safe place. That just like the disciples back in Acts chapter 19, we can ask God today, who is the Holy Spirit? We don't know about him so much, but who is he to us? You see, part of the problem with a subject like this series, the Holy Spirit, part of the problem is that the Holy Spirit has gotten a bad rap. It's just the truth. He's gotten a bad reputation, not because of what he has done, but because of what people have done and blamed it on him. There's a lot of controversy surrounding a subject like this because many people, hear me, many people have based their knowledge on who the Holy Spirit is on experience or something they saw on TV. It's just the truth. And maybe you're in that place today where you've got this stigma, you've got these walls built up between you and the Holy Spirit. And really, I was thinking about this, and I just believe that the people that are here in this room, those that will listen later on, there's a few different camps of people when it comes to this subject of the Holy Spirit. There's a few different just observations that you may have or feelings that you may have when we talk about this. Here's one camp. Here's one side that I'm probably speaking to today. The second that you heard we were doing a series on the Holy Spirit, you started salivating. I mean, you were excited, almost in your chair. You were just giddy, just so ready for this. I mean, you're like, come on, Pastor Ryan. It's about time that you talked about the Holy Spirit. Maybe that's you today. So excited, can barely hold back. You're like, let me put on my demon slaying gloves. I'm ready to go. We're going to get somebody slain in the spirit up in here. I mean, you're ready to go. You're excited. And I got to tell that group of people just one thing. That you need to chill out a little bit, okay? You just got to calm down, okay? I've been here 6 months. I can't preach on everything in the first 6 months. That was yesterday, by the way. Happy 6 months, right? Excited about that. So that's one camp, okay? You're like, where are the chandeliers? I intend to swing from something. That's where you're at. The second camp that we have that I believe I'm speaking to today is you had the exact opposite reaction. When you heard or you saw on the worship guide that we were doing a series on the Holy Spirit, you turned to the person you came with and said, honey, pack your purse. Let's go. You're like, I just knew that this was coming. I mean, I thought I liked this pastor. I thought I liked this church. We've had a good run, you know, but let's sneak out the back. Let's go to First, Second, Third, or Fourth Baptist, and it's going to be okay. And that's a camp. That's a group of people here today. Instead of being giddy, you are sweating bullets in your seat. What is this guy about to say? That's another one. And there's a third group that I'm speaking to probably today that you're a new believer. And you're like, I love Jesus. I love God. I'm excited about what he's doing in this church, excited about the growth, not just in numbers, but in me spiritually. This is great. Do I have to pick one of those other two options? If you're thinking that today, is it only extremely excited, a little bit crazy sometimes, or man, I'm so scared about, are those the only two options? And if that's you today, I got to tell you categorically, no, those are not the only two options. There is another option. You see, when we see things that are abused, a lot of times we have fear or we distance ourselves from them. Maybe you saw something on TV, or maybe you experienced something when you were 10 years old and somebody did something weird and they blamed it on the Holy Spirit. Happens all the time. I've experienced that. I've seen those things. You've seen abuses of the Holy Spirit. And I came here to tell some people that the Holy Spirit is not weird. People are weird. Y'all should amen to that because y'all know it's true. In fact, if you didn't amen to that, maybe you're one of those. I don't know. The Holy Spirit's not weird. People are weird. And so often people get carried away because we make mistakes. And yeah, there was maybe good intentions, but they did something weird and they said, you know what? The Holy Spirit made me do it. So we see these things and we distance ourselves. But I got to let somebody know that even though you maybe have seen abuses of the Holy Spirit, neglect is abuse too. Preaching today. Think about with the child. You can obviously abuse them physically, mentally, emotionally. But neglecting a child, look it up. It's abuse too. And so we cannot dare neglect what the Bible talks about from cover to cover. The Holy Spirit is not just a New Testament deal. It's all throughout the Old Testament. In fact, today and through this series, I'm going to read a lot of scripture, a lot of verses. And they're not just going to be from one chapter or one book, or not just going to be from the New Testament. They're going to also be from the Old Testament. Even the Holy Spirit was involved in creation. It's all throughout the Bible. And so we've got to get back to a good place, because the truth is, no matter which side you fall off the horse, you're still falling off the horse. And so we've got to get back to the middle. So here's what I'm asking of you. I'm asking something of you today and through this series. I'm asking for a blank page. That's what I'm asking. That's what I'm asking for. Whether you've been a Christian for a long time or you're brand new to this whole Christianity thing, I'm asking for a blank page that you'd push to the side just for the series. All of the stigmas that may be there, the assumptions, all the things that maybe you saw, the abuses of the Holy Spirit, or maybe it was never talked about at all and it's a brand new thing. I don't even know who the Holy Spirit is. I'm asking, no matter where you are, that you would give me a blank page. And that for the 4 weeks starting today in this series, that we would look to God's word, and that's how we'd get our view about the Holy Spirit. I'm asking for that. And I'm hoping that you'll do that for me during this series. After the series, you can make up your own mind. But during this series, we're going to look to God's word and God's word alone. And that's how we're going to get our view, our opinion on the Bible. Let me tell you something else. When it comes to experience, our experiences can never trump what God's word says. Now, experiences support and back up what God's word says, but our personal experiences, hear me, this is for somebody, they should never supersede God's word. So that's how we're gonna get our view. Yeah, I'm gonna talk about personal experiences, and yeah, I'm gonna address certain things of who the Holy Spirit is. Yeah, we'll talk about tongues 1 week. We're gonna do all that sort of thing, but we're gonna get our information from God's word and not from experiences. So I'm asking for a blank page. Really, along with that, I'm asking for one more thing, that you would make a commitment to be here every single week of this series. This series is so important, and if you have a vacation plan, don't cancel your vacation. I'm not saying that. If you have to go out of town for work, that's cool. But I'm asking for any message that you miss to listen to it online. This series, I don't view as four different messages. This series I view as one long message in four different parts. And really today is just the introduction. But we've got to make some groundwork before we can get other places. So I'm just asking for a blank page and for your commitment to be a part of all four messages. And I hope that you'll do that. And if you will, I believe that God will show you something very powerful and something very, very special. So today we're going to bounce all around the Bible. So even if you're really fast, you're probably not going to be able to turn here and there, because I'm going to hit a lot of different places. So the better way to stay tuned in today is to make a note of what verses I'm talking about, and you can read them later on. There's going to be a lot of references. I'm going to cite a lot of things. We're going to read a lot of verses just so you get the whole context in the introduction of this message. So we're going to start in 2 Chronicles. That's a tough one to find if you're new to church. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. And we're going to finish the end of the chapter, and then we're going to start in chapter 7 and go through verse 4. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, starting in verse 41. Here's what God's word says. Now arise, Lord God, come to your resting place. You and the ark of your might. May your priests, Lord God, be clothed with salvation. May your faithful people rejoice in your goodness. Lord God, do not reject your anointed one. Remember the great love promised to David, your servant. This is chapter 7 now, verse 1. When Solomon finished praying, there's some context here, fire came down from heaven. It's important. And it consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. This really happened, so picture this in your mind. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Then priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, He is good, His love endures forever. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. The title of the message today is this, Marked by Fire. Marked by fire. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this holy moment right now where we get to talk about you. and what your word has to say to us about who you are and what you do and what your role is in our lives. And I just pray for each and every single person underneath the sound of my voice. I pray that even now they would take down walls, stigmas, any assumptions that they've made. I pray, God, that you would give them power to push aside past experiences, good or bad, and to give you a blank page to write upon. God, that you would speak to us clearly on a subject, a person, the Holy Spirit, who is so vital to every single person. A series like this is not just for charismatic people or Pentecostal people. It's a church-wide thing. This is something we've got to know about. And so I pray, God, that you would speak clearly to us. I say this all the time, but may we have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Holy Spirit would say to us. We trust you. We trust you. And lastly, God, we just pray for our Rockets. We pray, God, that you would be with them. They're your team. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all too serious already. I had to throw in some. I could feel the tension. I could feel it. What happens here in 2 Chronicles is very important for us to understand. You could catch a little bit of context from what we read, but I want to give you a little bit more. You see, for the longest time, the people of God, the Israelites, they had not a temple, but a tabernacle. And a tabernacle is where God's presence dwelt. And the tabernacle was a tent that they would move around with them wherever they went. So God's presence, God's fire, was not limited to one location. Literally, as they moved the tabernacle here and there, his presence would move with them. The tabernacle, it had the Ten Commandments in it and the Ark, among other things. It was mobile, and they moved it wherever they went. But then David comes along, some context here. The same David who started out as a shepherd, who would kill Goliath with a slingshot, the same David who would eventually become king, but also miss it and have an affair with Bathsheba, followed by a murder cover-up. Don't tell me the Bible's boring, okay? So this is that same David. And we see in 1 Chronicles, we read from 2 Chronicles. We see from 1 Chronicles chapter 22 that David shared with his son Solomon his heart. And David told his son that I've got it in my heart to build God a permanent dwelling place, the temple. I want to do it. Instead of God being in a tent, he needs to be in a beautiful building where his presence can be permanently. And David shares this with his son Solomon. But then David tells his son Solomon that God told him, a lot of back and forth, I know, that you can't be the one to build it. Speaking of David. David said, God, I want to do this. This is an amazing thing. You don't need to be in a tent. You need to be in a building. And God told David that he had too much blood on his hands. David had made some mistakes. He was a military man. There was a lot of blood on his hands. So God told David that this is a good thing that you want to do, but it won't be you to do it. It will be your son. So David, he set Solomon up for success. And in 1 Chronicles 22, David is sharing with Solomon all of his things and that God told him that he would have a son and his son would build the temple where God's presence dwelled. And David set Solomon up for success. He gives him everything he needs. He gives him money, skilled workers, the leaders of Israel in support, every single thing. This is not a Father's Day message, but let me speak to the dads in the room. That's your role, to set your kids up for success, to do whatever you can to launch them out. They're all arrows in our quivers. That's the verbiage that God's word uses, and to launch them out into what God has for them. That's what David does. He sets them up. And this all culminates in 2 Chronicles, where we read, when God's glory and fire filled the temple. Now, fast forward, downloading a lot of information to the New Testament. That was old. Here's the new. We know this part. Jesus, he comes to this earth. That's Christmas. Jesus dies on the cross. That's Good Friday. Jesus raises from the dead. Anybody excited about that in the room today? That's Easter. We serve a God who's not dead. He is surely alive. It's Easter, and we celebrate that. And then Jesus ascends into heaven after the resurrection, and he sends his Holy Spirit. And the Apostle Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? There's a shift that happened. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? It's not a building anymore, it's you. And he's in you, whom you have received from God. And this is powerful, church. You got to see this. Because of Jesus, God's presence is no longer limited to a tent or building. He changed the game. No longer do you have to come to a church building to experience God. You can experience God in your car. You can experience God on the moon. You can experience God anywhere at any time. He's not limited. Y'all ain't excited enough today. I'm going to have to preach better. I'm going to work on it. God now lives on the inside of Christians. Romans 8, 9 says this, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. So I want you to see the irony, and you saying, well, I'm not really about this whole Holy Spirit thing. Well, if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives in you. It's amazing. Wherever we go, we are bearers of the Holy Spirit, the temples in which God's presence dwells. But this isn't all. John the Baptist, he speaks about this, and he talks about another encounter with the Holy Spirit, which we'll talk about at the end of this series. We'll talk about it a little bit right now. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, or the infilling of the Holy Spirit that Jesus will bring. Matthew 3:11 says, this is John the Baptist speaking, I baptize you with water, but after me comes one who's more powerful than I, speaking of Jesus, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Are you seeing some similarities here all throughout God's word? And this most definitely, Bible scholars agree, points to Acts chapter 2:1-6. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment. They couldn't believe it because each one heard their own language being spoken. I love this because today is actually the anniversary of that. Now, I wish I was smart enough to plan that out, but I wasn't, okay? God was, but I wasn't. Today is the anniversary of Pentecost. What happened there in Acts chapter 2? It's an amazing moment that we see. And so if you only like have a limit in church, we can only write down one thing each Sunday, write this down, okay? Because everything I just said from God's word culminates right here. Think about this. Think about what we've seen from beginning to end. Whether it was the temple or the tabernacle, or people, we can conclude 100% that God intends for his glory and fire to mark any structure that he lives inside. I thought y'all be more excited about that. That's good. We see from Old Testament to New Testament, I don't care what your background is, there is something that we see in each and every single situation. That whatever God lives inside, he marks it by glory and fire. It's what we see here. And so as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. And so that leads me to the name of this series. Why, Pastor Ryan, would you call it a controlled burn? Here's why. Think about Moses in the burning bush. The bush was on fire, but the bush didn't burn up. And that's what God's called you to live. To be on fire, but to not burn up. So I want to get practical. The tail end of this quick message, really just the introduction. I want to get practical because if we are temples of the Holy Spirit, and that's what God's word says many times, if we are the dwelling place of God's glory and fire, which the Bible shows us time and time again, if all that's true, and hopefully you're convinced now, what does that mean? What are the implications for us? Does it change anything about our Monday? I've taught you many times that if the Sunday doesn't change the Sunday didn't count. So what do we do with this information? Two things. If you're a note taker, that means you're a history maker and you'll write these two down. Number one, holiness. Holiness. Just like with the tabernacle and just like with the temple, God dwells in places that are holy. So I want you to think about your life, and I knew this would be the quiet moment of the service. But go inside. Instead of judging other people, judge yourself for a second. Are you holy? Are you holy? Because God's presence lives inside holy temples. Are you holy? What's your life look like? I used to tell teenagers all the time, because we have words like this in church, and we don't really understand them. Like, it's a good Christian word, holiness, holy, be holy. Like, it sounds good, but what does it mean? I tell teenagers all the time, here's what this means, that you're set apart, that you're different, that you're consecrated. Really, it means that you have no holes. That's what holiness means. There are no holes in your character. There's no holes in your life, that you're living a life honoring God. Now, here's the problem with that. We all fall short of that. We all miss that mark, including the guy speaking to you today on this platform. We miss it. Don't put me on some pedestal. I'm not walking around on a cloud, okay? I don't have a direct line to God where I hear him like Morgan Freeman on the other line all the time. That's not how it works, okay? Just the truth. I miss it too, okay? And so we can't hit that bar. That's the bad news. The good news is we can with God's help. We're only holy because of God living in us and him washing us of our sins. So how do you live holy? How are you holy? It's not do more or be gooder, okay? That's not a word, by the way. Like, that's not how it works. It's not about doing more or perfect church attendance, which would be a great idea, I'm just saying. But that doesn't make you more holy, right? Like, it's just not how it works. It's submitting your life to God, asking him to cleanse you and to forgive you. That's how you're holy, not because of you, but because of him. But I want you to ask yourself, are you living a life that honors God? This is sobering right here, this next statement. I want us to understand that everywhere we go, everything we do, everything we say, we're bringing the Holy Spirit on that trip. That changes things. Should. What you think about it, that business meeting you had this next week, if you're a Christian, you're taking the Holy Spirit with you to that meeting. Those bad things you said about people that gossip, you brought along the Holy Spirit on that conversation. Let me talk to the guys and the girls in the room. That stuff you look at on your phone late at night, on your computer, because pornography is not just a guy problem anymore. You're bringing, if you're a Christian, you're bringing the Holy Spirit along on that journey. So what are the implications, Pastor Ryan, this introduction message? Here they are. We should live differently because of who lives inside us. Holiness is what he's called us to change the way we live. Number two, I'm closing shop here. Confidence. Confidence. I need to tell some people today that you already have everything you need to live victoriously for Christ. And that's good news. You have everything that you need to live a life empowered by God. The Bible tells us in another place, we don't have time to turn there, The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside you. God tells us in another place that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The Bible tells us in another place that we are more than conquerors through Christ who gives us strength. Am I preaching to anybody today? The Bible tells us that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Amen. If God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
You should have confidence as a Christian. I know way too many Christians that walk around like they just sucked on a lemon. Defeated, head down. We should have confidence, not because of us, but the one who lives inside of us. Amen. See, Christmas is great, and this was my Christmas message this last Christmas Eve service. Christmas is great, Emmanuel, God with us. But this is even better because this is God in us.
Amen.
God's not just beside you, he's in you.
Amen.
You should have confidence.
Amen.
You should walk differently, talk differently, live differently, knowing that God is with us. As I close today and get ready to pray, I want to share with you kind of just my heart, just for a second. We're almost done. You know, you don't have to watch the news too long to see some bad stuff out there.
That's right.
What happened in Santa Fe breaks all of our hearts. And that's 30 minutes south of us,
right,
south of Houston. And unfortunately, that's not just an isolated event. It's not just school shootings. We have natural disasters, the stock market up and down, families being torn apart, divorces, the rate is so, I mean, there's just, that's not debatable. We live in a fallen world. There's fire of sin raging all around. I remember it like it was yesterday, where this is before I was married, and I wanted to go to propose to my wife, Isabel. She was my girlfriend at the time, of course, and I lived in Dallas, grew up around there, and she lived in Nevada, Carson City, Nevada, so northwest, and it's a desert. And so I got in the plane, and I flew up there a day early to surprise her. And I met her mom and her dad and her sister at the airport, and it was awesome. I was excited, and we went to Olive Garden, one of their favorite places to go eat, and I asked them for their permission to marry their daughter, or to ask their daughter, because I didn't know if she'd say yes. And they said yes, and so as we were driving from the Olive Garden that was by Reno Airport, she lives in Carson City, lived in Carson City. So we were driving from there to Carson City, there was a wildfire that broke out. This is like what you see on the news, kind of a fire. And wildfires are extremely dangerous because they can move on a dime. They can tear up and burn up acres in seconds. And not just that, but I found out later on that they can actually jump over highways. So we're driving from Reno to Carson City. My future wife does not know that I'm doing this. And there's a wildfire that broke out. So because of that, I could not get to her. I was determined. Y'all know me good enough by now. If you've been here at least 1 week, I'm like, I can't stop, won't stop. I'm gonna get her. And so literally we had to drive around a mountain to get to her. You can see a picture behind me. This isn't the exact one, but you can see the scene, what it looks like when a forest is on fire. It's brutal, it's destructive. What you see behind me, if you're in the room, that is fire uncontrolled. And like that, it can destroy. But can I tell you about fire controlled? When I got to their restaurant, her mom and dad own a restaurant, still do, very successful. Love God, amazing family. When I got there, I lit candles all throughout the restaurant. That was fire controlled. Mm-hmm. I had rose petals and music playing. And I picked that place because it was special to her. She grew up working there and it represented really her mom and dad, their life stream, their life's work. And I knew every time she'd go back there, she'd remember this. And So I had candles everywhere, rose petals. I was about to have a heart attack. I didn't know if she was going to say yes or not. That was fire controlled. So here's what I'm trying to say, that even though sin is blaring all around us, even though the fires of hell are coming in, I want you to know today that you can fight fire with fire.
That's right.
You can fight fire with fire. You actually learn this. You can research a controlled burn on Google. Take you to all these websites and you find out that some forest rangers will actually fight wildfires with fire. What they'll do is they'll go in front of the fire and they'll set a controlled burn, and it eats up all the oxygen and all the kindling that could be used for that fire to continue. And I know that the world is bad. I know there's a lot of mess out there. I know there's fires of sin all around us, but I got good news for some people today. The fire, the glory that God has put inside of us can knock that out in a moment.
Amen.
We were meant to live as people marked by fire. I want you to bow your heads with me, close your eyes. God, I pray for us, this introduction to this series. Holy Spirit, even though there's question marks, we come before you today honestly, with openness, with humility, asking you to teach us what you have to say about you and not what others tell us or what experiences tell us. Help us to be a people marked by fire. We see it as a consistent theme throughout the Bible, Old and New Testament, that anything that held your presence, your glory and fire was there. May it be so in us. The fire that's in us is greater than the fires of this world. With heads bowed, eyes closed, I want to get back to that first practical application, holiness. If there's anybody here today, underneath the sound of my voice, you don't have to be live in person. You can be at a Starbucks or at the gym listening to this. Anyone tuned in, I just ask right now in this holy moment that you push aside any agenda, what's going to happen next, that you just focus in on God and what the Holy Spirit would speak to you. And I just know, just believe in my heart that somebody, as I talked about holiness, there was conviction that you fell up under. We'll talk about what that means next week, but to give you a little bit of a thought now, it's simply the Holy Spirit coming in to get you back on the right path. That's what conviction is. So we talked about living a holy life, and I gave a couple examples. You're like, man, I've been missing it. I'm not living the life that I'm supposed to live. And if that's you today, I want to ask what I ask every single week, no matter the message, that you would respond to a holy God that doesn't have fists pointed towards you, but has got his arms stretched wide with nail-pierced hands looking at you with love and joy, waiting for you to come home to him. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to slide you into another room. Right where you are, where you're seated, if that's you, you see your life and you're not where you should be in your relationship with Jesus. If that's you, can you raise up your hand so I can see it? I see that hand. I see that hand. Anybody else? It's a holy moment. Even if you're listening online, you can lift it up right where you are. Anybody else? You can put your hand down. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Here's what we're gonna do next. Those that raised their hand a moment ago, I'm gonna lead you in a prayer. It's a prayer of surrender, a prayer of admission of guilt. It's a prayer that asks Jesus to forgive you, to wash you, to make you holy, to make you new. It's a prayer where you tell God, straight to him. You've got a line to him. that I missed it. I need you, and I believe in you. So those that raised their hand a moment ago, and also the Christ followers in the room, as support, because we're all family. We've all been there. We all need Jesus. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. So those that raise their hand and the Christ followers in the room, I'm going to ask you to repeat this out loud and know that God hears you. Say this with me. Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I thank you.
I thank you.
For your love.
For your love.
For your compassion.
For your compassion.
For your pursuit.
For your pursuit.
Of me.
Of me.
Jesus.
Jesus.
I put my faith.
I put my faith.
My trust.
My trust.
In you.
In you.
I ask you now.
I ask you now.
To forgive me.
Forgive me.
Of every sin.
Of every sin.
Of every mistake.
Of every mistake.
Make me brand new.
Make me brand new.
I believe.
I believe.
That you died on the cross.
That you died on the cross.
That you rose from the dead.
She rose from the dead.
And I will do my best.
And I will do my best.
To live for you.
To live for you.
To serve you.
To serve you.
And to honor you.
And to honor you.
As a holy temple.
As a holy temple.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I pray.
I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Come on, can somebody get excited for the life change that just happened?